Monday, December 12th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, last Tuesday, that special election took place in the state of Georgia with Herschel Walker losing to Raphael Warnock. As you and I were discussing the podcast we're going to do today, I noted the fact that just a few decades ago, it would be hard to imagine that the state of Georgia would have elected two different U.S. senators, both of which strongly embrace the progressive agenda and strongly embrace and promote a socialist ideology.
20 years ago, Georgia would have been a reliable state for a conservative political framework and electorate. But not so now. You ask yourself, why is that? What has happened to the world and life view in the state of Georgia that they now would elect those who unabashedly embrace a socialist political ideology? I think what's happened is something we have seen in a number of situations, and that is the penetration of the state, not so much the transformation of the majority of the past citizens of the state, but the penetration and the new order of the present citizens within the state. If you take a look at the voting map of Georgia, it's very much like America itself. All of the blue coloring that would indicate an embrace of the socialist platform of the Democratic Party is in the urban areas, in Georgia specifically, Atlanta and Savannah, particularly Atlanta itself. You've got two and arguably three counties that are dominated by the metropolitan area of Atlanta, which is now a dependable socialist enclave of a voting bloc in the state of Georgia, and to some degree, Savannah itself. Now, why is this the case? Well, of course, Atlanta is the capital, and therefore it attracts the cultural elite who are driven by the ideology of a government state-delivered utopia, that the answer to everything is a state program or a state initiative. Historically, we have said, no, the answer is not when the government shows up. That usually presents a problem. What the government does is enforce the law of the land. That's all it's supposed to do. And that law is designed to give the people liberty so that they have freedom within law. And so what used to be prized was freedom. Just keep the deeds of depravity and lawlessness at bay, but get out of the way so that we can freely function in the context of the law of the land. But the solution is found in the people, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not a government that herds the people, that directs the people, or that makes a people dependent upon the government. But yet, it's pretty obvious if you live in the capital of our nation, Washington, or if you live within the capital of a state, you are pretty much assured you're not going to have to deal with the vicissitudes of an economic downturn because all the money's coming right there. Therefore, those in the ruling class are going to be taken care of, and then they will then use those resources to control the various elements of the electorate throughout the state. So that's number one is urbanization. Number two is immigration, in that you have many people moving into the states from other states that have become both financially and morally bankrupt, but when they changed their location, they did not change their voting pattern. In other words, the very voting patterns that they had in these other states where the living became unbearable, their voting patterns they maintained when they came to the state that had enjoyed a landscape of opportunity instead of a landscape of devolution. They come and they bring their voting patterns from the state that they're fleeing, and thus it's just a matter of time till the numbers begin to overwhelm the past voting pattern of the state, and now a new voting pattern emerges from those who fled the consequences of the way they voted in the states that they're leaving, but now they're reproducing it in the state states to which they have come. And I think Georgia is a primary example of that. We see the same thing in Virginia, don't we, where the Washington area attracts those who have been educated with a political ideology of a quote-unquote democratic socialism and increasingly far-reaching and authoritarian socialism of government control. And where are they residing? Well, they're residing in Northern Virginia. They're residing in Maryland, and so we see what happens to those states. Well, the same thing's true out of the state capital in Atlanta. And then one other piece is the fact of the education industry. The schools are usually found in the city. So you have the universities in the city of Savannah and a significant number of educational institutions in the city of Atlanta. Therefore, you now have another purveyor and promoter of a culture of government control and a culture of socialism, and that is the urban area where the colleges are located. So you see the socialist penetration of a state or of a nation as you move to the cities near the coast, are the cities that are capitals of a state, are the cities that have become a magnet for educational institutions. And that's what's happened within the state of Georgia.
Harry, I like your illustrations and I agree with them, but let me throw something at you. Here's an exception to the rule, the state of Florida.
And by the way, to some degree, the state of Texas, although Texas is becoming challenged with its urban areas such as Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, and particularly Austin. But you see it in Florida. Now, why would that be? Well, first of all, Florida also is growing by immigration. But the immigration is coming from the north in terms of the Midwest itself. It has been documented that much of the immigration of Florida, particularly the west coast of Florida, has come from Michigan, Wisconsin, what we call the Midwestern states, and much of those new citizens of Florida actually were the conservative voters in those states, and they have come, the various blue-collar and mid-level management, white-collar retirees from those states that have come to reside in Florida. So their voting patterns aren't quite the same as the various New England states. The second thing is the immigration from the South. That is, the Hispanic immigration, number one, is populated by a significant number that are committed to the ethical doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church that are derived from the law of God, that is ingrained into their families. Secondly, they're coming with a high commitment to the family structure itself. In other words, the family is of more importance than the state. Unlike the urbanites, they actually are moving to cities to get jobs, but they're not urbanized. They're actually embracing the family. And then the third thing is almost all of them are coming from states that have moved not only through socialism, but to communism. And they see what happens when you live in a top-down government-controlled culture and nation, and they do not want that. And therefore, you've got a different immigration that is taking place in the state of Florida. Those that are immigrating in are embracing freedom, having fled from top-down tyrannical government, and they're not interested in recreating an authoritarian government. My ultimate hope is in the work of the gospel of the kingdom of God as it penetrates the states and the cities. That's where our hope is, that strengthens these impulses of conservatism with public policy that is rooted in biblical principles of love and mercy and justice, and understands that you have to limit government because government operates with power and authority, and power and authority can corrupt unless it is accountable and limited. Perhaps this week we can talk about how our political process and the voting patterns of the electorate are ultimately changed by the changing of hearts.
We'll do that this week, along with our other Today in Perspective topics. This reminder, too, on Fridays, we answer your questions. Write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Any questions you might have dealing with what do the Scriptures mean, or questions concerning the issues of life and how the Scriptures address those issues. Write to Harry at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, do join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.